Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Gray Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Ray Lewis the third.
hey, Brian, hey, bro, did you all over the country? But the game, Brian, persistence will go on. Not like Dodger Stadium. The Red Sox blow out the Yankees. 15-5. First game in Boston for 2023. Turn over to home runs to Grand Slam. Mets beat up the Cards 6-1 on New York single. Rays keep it rolling with a 6-2 victory over San Diego. And San Diego is dropping over and over in the AL West. Braves hit 3 homers to get healthy over Colorado Rockies. 8-1 victory. Milwaukee gets by Pittsburgh in the battle of the National League. Central Division with Wilmar Homer in the 6th inning. Bruins win 5-4. Giants beat the Dodgers 7-5 in extra inning last night. WTA, 3 Prince of Bands and 9 NASA Finals. Bozier, Barrage, and Watson will take the Finals in 9 a.m. Classic. Limera Open and the Netherlands and the Boss Open in Germany will be in quarterfinals this weekend. PGA, the LIV, and PGA dismissed lawsuits against each other. Not surprising. Ricky Fowler leads by one stroke over Clark and Roy McIlroy and the U.S. Open this weekend. LPGA, Japan's Ayaka Maru leads in the mid-year classic. One stroke over South Korean Joe Kim and Amy Yang with South Korea. Ireland's Leona McGuire and Spain's Galala Gandita. It should be an interesting ending of the major classic. LPGA, of course, tomorrow is the Canadian Grand Prix, 1.1, as the Mercedes teams are doing quite well. Electrical issues were taken care of in the first practice. And the Canadian Grand Prix, the first practice, Bobby Botas wins the first practice, Stroll second, Alonso third, and the Austin Martinis go 1-2. Second practice, the Mercedes Benz Company take 1-2. Again, with Lewis Hamilton and George Russell, with Carlos Sainz in third. Third practice will be about an hour from now, and it should be for a pole position for the Canadian Grand Prix tomorrow at 1 in Toronto, Canada.
was dying, and it got so bad I knew I had to leave. But halfway down that highway, when I turned around, I saw my little daughter running after me. To run to catch a train. She had no way of knowing I was leaving home for good. I turned around and there she was again. And she said to me, "Daddy, don't you walk so
but ninth inning, long arms lose the ball in the twilight of the sky, and the Cardinals move on to Omaha this weekend. The parade Monday, or actually Monday, the last year of the NBA, is another shooting. No reported deaths. America got to get over the guns. They got to get control of the guns, seriously. Yeah, another shooting this weekend at the parade. Another one today. And we're good happy. We're just good happy now. Tuesday, the A's man had reverse boycott. 28,215 at the game, all wearing blue, gold and blue shirts, gold and green shirts, with the word "sell" on it. And the owner don't care. They don't care. They're going to move to Vegas and make more money. New York Rangers, I have picked Lafayette as head coach. And trust me, this won't last long. I give the Rangers 2 years, and Lafayette will be gone. Wednesday, the New York Giants, the New York Football Giants, and Zuka Barney cannot come to a contract and provide me a franchise tag. And it is what the Giants do. The Giants, they sign Twinkle Toes, and their star player, Barney, they want to franchise him. It's typical New York Giant football. Thursday, the U.S. Open. Rucker opening for Jeff Schiffler and Fowler with a round of 62. Rory McIlroy suits 65. And not talking to the press. The DOJ, Department of Justice, will be looking into the unification of the PGA and LIV tour by resulting in antitrust issues and competition concerns in professional golf. Crazy events at the Denver parade as the police officer gets run over and could lose his leg. Another shooting at the parade route. The U.S. soccer team played Mexico to a 9-9 tie, and they did not play the overtime. They have 4 red cards and an anti-gay chant in the crowd for the Mexican team. At the Athletics and the bill on the Nevada legislature, and the Nevada legislature passed, the Las Vegas City Council passed the bill. The Nevada legislature passed the bill, and now the governor resigned. Meanwhile, the Oakland City Council is struggling, scrambling to do what they can do. Mayor Xing Zhao thinks that Nevada owes Oakland money. We're going to see how this works out. As the Oakland saga continues. Also, by the way, the A's have 1 year left on and homers will be for the A's too after the 24 season. Friday, John Morant gets NBA 25 game suspension. That means over a quarter of the NBA season, 23 season. Michael Jordan is looking to sell the Charlotte Hornets, but his ownership of the Hornets as the NBA continues to move on. Sean Donovan Jr. becomes the GM of the Golden State Warriors and will most likely continue the reign of the program that Levy of the old Warriors. Not much will change when Mike Dunleavy taking over for Lakem. Greg Berhalter will return for the U.S. soccer team. He's with the 18 team, so he comes back in 23 with a new, younger team. The Kansas City Chiefs get their rings and get back to work right away as Mahomes and they won a back-to-back championship. It hasn't been done since the New England Patriots 2003-04, and I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs can do it. I think the Eagles are going to take this year, I really do. The rumblings in San Diego at San Diego State University is going to leave the Mountain West Conference. Aim for either the Big Ten or the Pac-12. Last but not least, the first day of practice at the Canadian Grand Prix had electrical problems, and they finally got in late last night. The Canadian Grand Prix will be tomorrow in Toronto, Canada. Take a break with the hard working man in show business. about the Oakland A's and the reverse boycott. The reverse boycott has been brewing for about a year. And if you look at the Oakland A's attendance, it's been less than 1,000 people a game or 2,000 people a game. Last week they had a reverse boycott. 28,250 arrived at the game. They were loud and they were proud. Oakland A's fans. Now what is this? Major Baseball can get us. Major Baseball wants the A's to move out of Oakland. Oakland is a minority city. The Atlanta Braves, same day, they moved out of Atlanta to the suburbs. This is a message to all black fans. And baseball continues to stumble and bumble, trying to attract African-American, Latino-American fans. This does not go well when you do this. Let's check this out.
A's fans making their message clear at tonight's game.
That's right. Fans organized this reverse boycott to really show their dedication to the A's staying in Oakland. This says the team still works to move to Vegas.
KTVU's Joe Fonzie was at the ballpark today where the Coliseum saw its biggest crowd so far this season.
The party started in the parking lot behind center field well before first pitch. The biggest crowd of the season turned out on a Tuesday night. The giveaway had something to do with it, free T-shirts, but not provided by the A's. The one-word message was clear, directed toward owner John Fisher. Stop your Las Vegas romance and sell to an owner that will keep the team in Oakland.
We want to make a point that, hey, if you are committed to Oakland and keeping a team here and committed to investing in your roster, we'll be here. And this is just the product of what can happen if you literally care about your city, your team, and your fans.
Baseball is a generational sport, and the A's fan base, like all teams, is full of people who have made going to their games part of a family tradition.
My grandson's been here even before, in the womb. I was bringing my daughter here with him when he was in the womb.
We've been coming ever since he was born. All he knows is A's. You know, and this is all, we're here to support them. I think our goal is just to be seen and heard. I mean, I don't know if this is going to make a difference, but we love the A's, and that's, you know, we're here to support them.
From the chants to the signs to the return of the drummers, the symbolism was strong. A's fans were showing what they once were and feel they still can be. There was no shortage of A's jerseys being worn by the Oakland faithful. Trouble is, none of those players wears an A's uniform anymore.
He's been a fan since he was born. When they traded Donaldson, he was crushed.
We're going to keep fighting every day and just hope to build more memories, just like our parents brought us to the game, be able to take our kids, our grandkids to the game. We're just, you know, fighting to keep Oakland baseball alive.
A's fans will acknowledge this was an 11th hour, even desperation effort. But if the goal was to send a message to team ownership, they certainly did that. In Oakland, Joe Fonzie, KTVU, Fox 2.
And it continues this week. Another boycott is planned for August. We will see how it goes. I'm going to continue with the Coliseum. The Coliseum, which was a masterpiece back in 1968, is now one of the third or fourth oldest in Major League Baseball. The Cubs, Wrigley Field, Red Sox, Fenway Park, the Dodgers, Dodger Stadium, the Angels, and the Oakland Coliseum comes right after that. These are the five oldest ballparks in the league. The Red Sox have renovated the park. The Chicago Cubs have done likewise. The Dodgers gutted the outfield and redid their outfield. The last man standing is the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. We got the house over the house.
Yeah, Gary, both of you, both you and I are neighbors to the Oakland Coliseum. You up in El Cerrito, me a little further out, Sonoma County, but I've done my time in Berkeley and San Francisco environs. And the local media, for the first time here, really took off the gloves. And perhaps it's safe for them to do that because it's too late. They called out Rob Manfred as being basically a mush-mouth nothing-sayer and the pawn of the owners, and more importantly, called out the fact that the owners want the move to Vegas to happen. That if the owners did not want it, if they wanted some other alternative, if they wanted to keep the A's in Oakland, they could have brought pressure to do that. But the A's are moving not simply on their own choice, but with the approval of the owners. And it's important to see that in the context of baseball with a capital B.
This is a political move. This is a social and racial move. This is a capitalistic move. The Oakland A's, if they stayed in Oakland, would benefit the city of Oakland and Alameda County. What baseball is saying to Alameda County and the city of Oakland, we don't care about you.
Right.
Thank you, but no thank you.
Right. Right. Yeah, on that, you know, this has been a circular circus for probably decades with the political systems within Alameda County. But what baseball, again, capital B baseball, could have done, these billionaire owners could have used the power of their money and their offices to lean on the Alameda County commissioners, the office of the various mayors, to recognize what was done, and you know this because you were there and you worked there, with the Haas family ownership of the A's in the, 70s and 80s?
Yep.
And
all this started in the 90s. All this started back in the 90s. When Al Davis returned with the Oakland Raiders, the city of Oakland, Alameda County had to pay the Raiders to come back.
Right.
Not only that, they built Mount Davis in the outfield, which I think is a travesty of all travesties.
Yeah. Yeah, and not only Mount Davis, which for your listeners don't know, it was a set of luxury boxes that were put out, constructed out above the bleachers that had blocked a view that extended out to the Oakland Hills, which formed the eastern fringe of the San Francisco Bay Area. It also cut off, weather-wise, we have our wind coming and our famous fog coming in from the west, which would blow through the stadium, and it would also often blow fly balls out. It was thought to be a difficult stadium to pitch in because you were pitching against the wind. But when they put up Mount Davis, some people described as well what they've done now is they've closed off a toilet bowl. And there's a good argument for that. It's an architectural travesty. It's not pretty. And even in the area above the ticket booths, which you'll know, they just like planted these other structures that they don't even match the texture of the concrete or the stucco that was the pre-existing surface.
I remember when they first started working about Davis, we had to go from the BART ramp. You had to go down the elevator, walk across it, go up the elevator to the other side. Now, to me, working there that year, it was the beginning of the end. For me, it was the beginning of the end.
Right.
Because what it told me is that the Raiders are more important than the A's. That's what it told me. I didn't like that. I'm a Raider fan.
Right.
I didn't like that because the Oakland County Coliseum is a baseball stadium, not a football stadium.
Correct.
And I looked up this week. The Oklahoma Coliseum was the last stadium to have multi-purpose. It's the last one. They are no more.
But, you know, but at the time, that was thought to be innovative.
You are correct.
Everywhere. You are correct that the football field never fit there. They always had to, you know, reconfigure, and it was weird to go there, you know, in the period in which the seasons overlapped, you know, when you would see, you know, football striping on the outfield and things like that. But at the time, it was thought to be an innovation. You know, instead of building two separate stadiums for two separate seasonal sports, why not double up? Now, someone can look at the wisdom or the folly of that, but at the time, it was considered innovative.
That was done in Philadelphia. That was done in Cincinnati. It was done in St. Louis. It was done in Atlanta. It was done in San Diego. So it was a popular thing.
Historically, did that experiment work in those other locations? No.
No.
Okay.
I told the co-camera a minute ago, the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum is the last one to be the multi-purpose. That's what. There are no more. Baseball team got smart and said, get out of our stadium.
Right.
So Eagles and Phillies, the Eagles play across the street with the Phillies. That's what's happening.
Right. Well, what's the logic, though, with all the cost of money and raw materials and things like that in building a separate stadium? What's, you know, that's going to be empty for half the year. What's the logic behind two separate stadiums?
The air flow. I had one stadium in St. Louis, turned that stadium completely around for the sun.
Huh.
The sun would come in the morning and not afternoon. That's how crazy this got.
Right. So. You know, one thing, though, Oakland, you know, I mean, you talk about this being a political mess and political decisions. Oakland can be faulted, too, because, you know, the various political entities, the county of Alameda County, there's a separate Alameda County commission for the stadium. There's the port, which is a separate political entity. and, of course, the city of Oakland, the mayor's office. And they've just been, like, you know, playing, you know, musical chairs with broken legs, if I can mix my metaphors there, for decades. And, you know, a negotiation is not a negotiation if you don't want to really meaningfully settle. And everybody was just, you know, pushing their little chess pieces around the board.
No, the commission did not want the A's in Oakland. That goes back 30 years, they didn't want the A's in the first place.
Yeah. You know, the other thing that's more disturbing, and I know you feel this way with your concerns about sports gambling, is the thrust by the owners of Major League Baseball and the NFL to be putting teams in Las Vegas.
Well, 10 years ago, Las Vegas had zero teams. Not one, not two, not three, not four, zero. And when the A's move to Las Vegas, which they will, they'll have four major teams in Las Vegas, two of which have already won championships. Las Vegas Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup this year. Las Vegas Aces won the WNBA championship this year. They already won. My question is, are there baseball fans in Las Vegas? I can't tell you, Art.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, we've talked about this. If I'm going to Vegas, I'm not going there to watch a baseball game. But there are people from Iowa or Montana who do not have any close proximity to a baseball stadium. And so when they go away for their vacation, they want to see what they can't see in their home area, which may be, you know, rock and roll shows, gambling, and baseball.
Those people in Iowa and Nebraska and Kansas, there are two teams they report, only two teams, Chicago Cubs and St. Louis Cardinals. That's it. From Kansas City, Kansas, all the way back to St. Louis, and from Montana all the way back to Chicago, those are the only two teams in the Midwest. Now, it might be more now, but for Denver, the Colorado Rockies, but I don't think so.
Why is that? Because of the power of radio?
And St. Louis and Rome for so many years, it's hard to break that cycle.
Why do those areas support those teams? Because of the power of radio?
Yep. WGM and KMOX all across the Midwest. Two powerhouses. Late night in California. I can't think of a Cardinal game. Late night when I was in Jersey, I used to get Cardinal game. But you have to be very careful with your radio to get it.
Right.
You do it.
I know. You nudge it an inch and you lose the signal, right?
And that's right.
Yeah.
Hey, another fun part of growing up, because you wake up in the middle of the night, you turn the radio on, and you get either the Cubs or the Cardinals, either one or the other.
Right.
And baseball is losing that. They're losing that. because they're so greedy that they get the kids growing up. They will not be a third generation A's man, a third generation Seattle Seahawks player. It's not going that way anymore.
Right. And it was exciting, too. I mean, I can imagine with you, you know, being in New Jersey in the middle of the night listening to these, you know, far-flung places that existed only in your imagination, you know, Chicago, St. Louis. And it was, you know, exciting to get that vicarious thrill of being in those places by the power of radio.
I mean... Baseball keeps doubling up because they could be one of the most outstanding sports in our nation. And they keep moving around and finally speed the game up with the clock. And finally got that right. And I think that's one of the best things they ever did, was get the clock, because now you can't move around.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, by moving to Las Vegas, you know, they're not going to be bringing young people into that game. My guess is, you know, it's going to be older tourists who are going to go see the baseball game. And so, yeah, it's another example, as you say, of baseball alienating itself or not going after the younger fan.
Yeah. The younger fan is not interested in baseball anymore.
No. Well, you know,
the ones that are because their father helped them, or their grandfather guided the games.
Right.
I can remember the story my dad. My dad would go 2 hours to go to New York. 2 hours to go to a game in New York. And we had the Phillies right next door. It was 30 or 40 minutes to go to the Phillies. He would not do it. He would drive 2 hours to go to the Yankees or the Mets. And see, that stuck in my mind forever, because that's how I became a Mets fan, because of these long drives in New York.
Right. No, the game, as I've said many times, is a vestige or an artifact of an earlier period in history when that's all there was. There was no TV, no internet, certainly, no cars. And what you would do for your entertainment in many small towns is walk down and watch
radio,
a ball game.
Radio was it.
Yeah. And now, you know, the attention span has been fragmented among all age groups because of the internet and just, you know, quick hits and tweets and Instagrams and all this stuff.
What reminded me of that? I'm glad you brought that up. I was walking down the street in San Francisco. It was 88, 89. And, you know, back in Jersey, the old days, you walk down the street and you hear radios going everywhere. We walk down the street. Well, this day in 89, I was walking down Market Street, and every window and the Giants game on. I was like, wow, this is old school here. Everybody was interested in the Giants. And that was the year it was, and that's the event of that year. So it brought back old memories of walking down the street in New Jersey with the same thing.
Right.
That is gone. That's gone. Because of the internet, it's gone.
Right.
Because of the TV, it's gone.
Yeah. We know, I was thinking this week, you know, all this talk about social media. It's not really very social.
No,
you know,
it's
antisocial. I mean, people talk about, oh, send me an email, or I'm involved in a couple committees on a couple different things, and you know, there's this little controversy that's happening, and it's like this little, you know, email back and forth. It's like, can somebody pick up the phone and talk to somebody instead of hiding behind this wall of email and sniping at each other? You know,
well,
and then the communication, you know, if you try to, and we're word people, we're journalists, we're writers, broadcasters, we talk. And we have important things to say, and it takes more than three words to say them. But you know,
I think that's part of America's problem. We cannot communicate with each other. As far I believe that's part of where anger is coming from. I believe that divorce rates are up.
Right.
I have friends that are divorced all over the country. It's outrage.
No, I've been on a couple committees, and I acknowledge that I go on at some length. But I've told them, I said, look, I was invited here for a reason. If you don't want me here, that's fine. I don't need to be here. I was invited because supposedly I had something to say or to contribute. And whatever that is going to take a minute. It's not going to take 30 seconds. It's not going to take half an hour, but it's going to take a minute or two or three.
Instant coffee, instant tea, instant everything. Instant marriage, instant divorce. It's a pandemic. I believe it's a pandemic. And the only way around this is to get back to communicating with each other, which I think is going to be a very hard thing to do.
Well,
because once you go down that road, people don't want to change.
Well, no. What I've done is I've had to put my foot down and maybe, break a few eggs along the way of saying, you know, excuse me, time out. You know, I've got something to say here. And, you know, without hijacking the conversation or, you know, being, overly oratory of just saying, look, this is, you know, if you want to solve this problem, we have to talk this out. And it's interesting when you call people on it, because there's, in this committee I was on, people said, well, you know, there was, you know, I actually called them out. I said, well, you know, it's been reported to me there's some friction within this committee, and I'm going to venture that the friction revolves around me. And here's the reason why.
My
response.
The Oakland Coliseum thing has been going on since 1990, the mid-90s. That's 30, 40 years ago, right?
I know, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah,
a lifetime. A generation.
You sit here and 30 or 40 years.
Right.
Going back and forth on the issue of the Oakland A's.
Right.
Not only that, you lose the Oakland Raiders.
Right.
Not only that, you lose the Golden State Warriors, which I think was one of the most distinct dynasty moves I've ever seen.
Right.
You sit there and for 30 or 40 years in Oakland, and you skip, go back to San Francisco and build a castle.
Right.
Which is what it is, a castle.
Right
near the water. Get out of here.
Really, in earthquake land, right? On landfill.
I would give a warning to all your Warrior fans. If an earthquake happens, when you're in the Chase Center, bye-bye, because that land will go right in as we're going, right in the ocean. Because in landfill, all areas landfill.
Well, you know, the good thing about that, though, is you could wear an orange life vest to the game and still match with the orange and blue team colors. Or that would be more swag for them to sell.
Okay.
You know, a life jacket with a Warrior logo on it. Hey, talking about words, I want to talk about the dilemma and the crisis of John Morant and the use of the word brandishing. And now people are backing away from that, saying, well, you know, he didn't really break the law.
You know, I've been thinking about this for a couple of days. John Morant, and none of the newscasters will ever say this. I believe John Morant was threatened. I believe John Morant was scared somebody after him. That's why he got gunned. Now, mind you, and nobody said anything about this either. Mind you, half of the league, people have guns. Let me repeat that again. Half of the players in the league have guns. Nobody says that, right? John Morant.
Well, yeah.
John Morant just made it public. He said, I'm not scared of you. I'm gonna flash this gun to keep you away. Now, was it right? No. Was it correct? No. Was it a stupid move? Yes. But John Morant told those guys, stay away.
Well, but again, this gets down to, you know, I haven't seen all the John Morant videos, but it seemed he was just waving the gun around. He wasn't doing it with any specific purpose and was not doing it in a threatening or defensive manner.
Yeah,
he may have been showing the gun, saying, hey,
be aware
that I'm armed.
He's sending a message to those people that stay away. Brittany Griner. when the driver got attacked and down.
Well, she didn't get attacked. She got heckled. A guy got in her face. Well, yeah, but that happens.
But that's
heckling. That's heckling all the time. I mean, that's sports. That's trash talking along the baselines, the sidelines. People in the bleachers yelling at the outfielders.
You don't get in a player's face. You do not get out of it. You don't do that. I don't get it. I have players I don't like. And I can yell at you if I was dead. You do not get in their face.
Right.
You do not let their bodily arm.
Yeah.
You don't do that.
You know, here's a you know, separate related. One time, the New York Yankees were playing in Oakland, and one of the neighborhood features of the Coliseum is you could go down, in the garage area that the team buses came in, and you could hang out, and you could watch the players get on the bus. And Yogi Berra, great Yankee catcher, you know, came walking along, and for all his accomplishments, with all his rings. And I grew up, as you did, in New Jersey. Some heckler yelled out, "Hey, Yogi, yoo-hoo, Yogi, yoo-hoo." And you could see Yogi's ears kind of twitch. Like, of all the things I've done in my life, you're going to get on me for this period when I promoted the yoo-hoo chocolate beverage with the catchphrase, "Me." Yeah, it was a tasty drink. Me-he for you-hoo. That was the,
yeah.
You know, and I had to laugh. Right, I had to crack.
The fan base in America, the fan base in America has changed. What I mean is this. They think they have the right to do whatever they want to do and say whatever they want to say.
Right.
No, you don't. You paid your, okay, yeah, you did pay money to come into the game. But that does not mean you have to be a complete idiot, okay? When some of these guys are. And you don't say racist stuff like James. You don't say homophobic slurs like, what are you doing? You can call him an asshole, yeah, you can do that. You can call him a jerk, yeah, you can do that. You can call him, you can't hit him with three days of beans. But
right.
You don't call him the N-word.
No.
You don't call any anti-gay, and that's what we're going with it.
No, but the Britney thing, what the fellow said was, "Hey, Britney, are you going to stand for the national anthem now?" Commenting, of course, on the fact that she used to not stand and her experience by being repatriated from Russia.
Right, what does that go back to, Art? What does that go back to?
Well, I'm gonna take the view that that's kind of fair game.
No, but what does that go back to? That goes back to Colin Kaepernick. That's what it goes back to. That goes right back to Colin Kaepernick and right back to what he was doing. America loves symbols. They love symbols.
Right.
And that's a sacred symbol. And they don't
But again, you know, I'm going to take this view, and it may be contrarian to you and to the program. But, you know, like any of us, when we get our hand caught in the cookie jar, all of a sudden, you know, it's like, you know, either one, what hand, what cookie jar, or I'm sorry. You know, and for all Britney's braggadocio, you know, when she took cannabis into Russia and got nabbed for it, all of a sudden it's like, where's my ambassador? Where's the consulate? Can somebody help me get out of here?
That guy went after Britney Griner for that reason. Yes, it's open season. But what he did was, he went after her because he went down for the American flag.
In context of the Russian repatriation. Basically, that's what he was saying. He goes, okay, you know, it, basically, hey, are you feeling a little patriotic now, girl? You know? Now you're going to stand for the flag? When that country represented by the flag went to great lengths to get you back from Russia?
African Americans for centuries, not days.
Right.
Centuries, decades.
Right.
And deal with this emblem, this symbol. And what this symbol stands for. And what it stood for in the past.
Right.
So I got a problem with that.
No, I understand that. You know, and in fact, as I look at the John Moran issue, you know, it may be that John Moran, as now a wealthy, empowered black man, is saying, you know, after 400 years, no, don't be telling me what to do. You know, I own this object. I'm going to display it. And then all of a sudden, of course, the weight of 400 years comes down on him. And yes, once again, it's the black guy who has to pay the price with the suspension.
But if America would stop playing games like this, America needs to stop playing games. What I mean is this. When you start having black ownership, when you start having black GMs, when you start having black president, then we can talk. But if you keep doing this, blocking black people, I know you're trying to hear me saying it. That's power control, bro. That's exactly what it is. And the John Moran did the wrong thing, maybe. But John Moran got paralyzed twice, three times. 25 games. For what? He didn't do anything. Never got me upset with this. You know, 8 games, okay. Maybe 10 games, okay. 25 games? What are you doing?
Well, you know, again, it's a strong message of saying this gun nonsense has to stop. A slap on the wrist does nothing. You know, it's like punishment. Punishment has to hurt in order to get the message across.
Okay.
You know, and I think that's it. And people said, you know, and again, in the context, in the greater context of the epidemic of gun violence here.
This is a wild, wild west, right? It goes everywhere.
Right, and it's got to stop. And it's got to stop. And one of the ways to do that is to say, you know, no, you know, if you engage in foolishness, even if it's not criminal, you know, and in your contract is probably a phrase about something, you know, conduct unbecoming to the sport, there's going to be a penalty, you know. Anyhow, well, listen, I'm going to go. Oh, hope you got some new callers.
Good to hear you. I hope you have a good Father's Day weekend.
Yeah.
And I hope it gets a little warmer. It's freezing up here. I know what's up there, but it's freezing over here.
Well, that's your San Francisco summer, right?
Right.
Anyhow, yeah. Yeah, Father's Day, remembrance of Arthur R. George Sr. and George C. Gray.
Yeah, all right. There you go. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend, brother. All right, we got our new resident PSN editor in chief, Michael Negro and Tony McClain. What's up, brother?
What's up,
how's it going?
How you doing?
How's it going? Can you hear me?
On this, Father's Day weekend.
In the words of Ralph Kiner, to all you fathers out there, happy Mother's Day.
Indeed.
Yeah.
We're honoring,
and,
we're honoring
and my
pops.
My imagination is that Mother's Day is like three times as glorious as Mother's Day. Is that really true?
We're honoring my pops today because today actually would be his birthday. He would be 111 years old today.
Yeah.
Oh,
my
all right.
My mom would be 100 years old next year. He'll be 100 years old.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you know what, G? You are talking, and you know, this is one time I got to throw down on behalf of the fact that Britney fucked up as far as...
Hold on, let me finish.
Britney fucked up, and she deserved to get her ass ragged, because getting her ass ragged is nothing compared to what she went through in Russia. She knows better. She spent years getting away with shit because she was smoking and living against the rules in Russia, and thought because she was a faux celebrity, it was okay. There was a sense of entitlement to what Britney did. And, yeah, you should ask her the question, are you happy that you're here now? You're damn right. Because
Michael, what I see them doing this way, and I understand the gentleman's point, but there's a little bit of racism, that racism part that really bugs me, because if Brittany Griner were white, we would be talking about this.
Listen, you know, Gary, you know, I've always felt that this had literally nothing to do with her being black. It had nothing to do with her being a basketball player. I think it had everything to do with being gay. I think they may have been factors, but I think the biggest thing was that this was Putin's anti-LGBTQ thing. I think that's what. And also, again, you know, she cannot cry ignorance of the law, because she's been going there back and forth for the last few years, so she knows the thing. But I will say this. This doesn't give folks the right to try to Karen her. I mean, you know you're going to, unfortunately, you know, because something like this happens, you sort of open yourself up to it. But see, luckily, at least in this instance, this wasn't somebody that would, you know, she still has to be protected, because in the climate that we're in, we got a lot of folks that might not have that could have come at her like with a machete or a gun or what have you. So you can't, dumb is dumb, but you still can't condone somebody trying to punk her like that. And it's again, she brought on a lot of this on herself by thinking that she was somewhat special, but that doesn't do anything.
And see this guy,
you know, he was trying to make a name for himself too. What's the thing that Mark Twain said years ago? The last act of a tyrant is patriotism. And,
thank you.
To me, this guy was just, again, these, you know, you have a lot of folks out here who try to make their names off of someone else's misery, and I think this was part of it. I think this was a huge part of it, of this person. Because this was one of these YouTube yahoos that was trying to get, you know, hits and whatever. You know, unfortunately, that's also part of what we're living in now, because you've got people that and that want to, quote unquote, have a take on something, good, bad, or indifferent. And a lot of it is just, I mean, a lot of them, it is all of them just sort of pumping their chest in public going, me, 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 me. And if I can use it, if I can punk or troll a celebrity along the way, I'll do it even louder.
I'll do it, yeah. What is your guys' take on the Oakland A's move to Vegas?
I mean, it's been a done deal for a while. They got a, you know, it looks like they got a sweetheart deal in Vegas. I feel sorry for the loyal fans, because at the end of the day, they're the ones that wind up getting screwed. And sadly, what's going to wind up happening is this team, you know, I'm willing to bet within a couple of years of them I'm not ready to hand them a World Series yet, but they're definitely gonna be a contending team, you know, because it's unfortunate. I think, you know, the fans speaking out the way that they did the other night, I don't think it was ever the fans' problem, because, they've had loyal fans for the long, even going back to the salad days back in the 70s. But I think what they, to be quite honest, the Oakland fans were probably being, to me, was probably showing more gumption than most of the other fans, because they just said, you give us a terrible product, you're not going to support it. There's probably a lot of other fan bases that should take notes from what the Oakland A's fans have done over the years. Unfortunately, what the fans have done or turned their back on, let's be honest. The franchise turned their back on their fans a long time before the fans turned their back on the franchise. Let's be very clear about that.
It was very interesting that Thursday night, the league waived the relocation fee, which I thought, interesting.
I think it's more posturing than anything else. But now, I mean, look, they're gone. I mean, I guess the Oakland City Council and all the powers that be have had numerous opportunities to get this right. And let's be honest, every mayor for the last 15, 20 years there has never really embraced the game. And for them to even try to do a cosmetic sort of thing now, to me, I think it just shows you even more how they sort of are playing the fans.
Well, Mayor Zedell, usually the mayor when they there's one thing in their campaign about the baseball team. Well, guess what? Mayor Zedell didn't even put anything in her political statement about the A's.
It was a hollow gesture, that's why. She was out.
Yeah.
She got outmaneuvered by the A's and the city of Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And it was too late. And she's trying to save face, which is something that's very Asian, of course. But the bottom line was she didn't come through, and she let a professional franchise get away. And I say get away just like that, because they weren't making a lot of money as is. And any plans they had to make more money, stifled by plans to make even more money, by relocating and going to Las Vegas. But I gotta hold on to this before I let it go. Brittany Griner has the right to be stupid, and she exhibited that right by getting caught doing what she did. So
yeah.
If somebody said to her, you know, how does it feel to be in the States now? You know, she got off easy, to be totally honest. And in all honesty, she should have went and just walked away. Because if anybody got nothing now behind, really, she'd be in big trouble. The bottom line here is that I don't think it was as much heat on her about being gay as it was being stupid. Because you had the right to go away and make money. You had the right to go away and earn a living. You were doing both. And you violated those rights by violating the laws of where she was. And we
the Russian League or the European League wires over 50% of the WNBA.
Yeah.
This year, guess what? Nobody went to the Eastern League this year. Nobody went to the Eastern League this year.
Nobody went because they put so much heat, and there was so much heat put on them by the situation. And for every Brittany Griner that got caught like that, there was somebody who was like, wait a minute, let me put the brakes on this.
Yeah,
and they decided to opt against it. Like I said, she had the right to be stupid. She was stupid, and she paid for it. And if she walks off with somebody saying, Brittany, you're a dumbass, just walk away and call it a day. You know, because
have you heard the latest news about the Mountain West?
About what? San Diego State. San Diego State going to be leaving.
Yeah, also,
I'm not sure what the other two schools is, but where's San Diego State going?
But
San Diego San Diego State wants to go to the Pac. He wants to go to the Big Ten.
Or
Pac-12 makes more sense. What the hell are they going to do?
It makes
so
more
why,
sense.
Nobody's going to go to Big Ten, right? Because UCLA, that's why.
It makes more sense, but moving to another conference, they just look at it as a step up. It's like getting a promotion but no pay raise. And it's like once you're in this new conference, then they get a chance to take advantage of what things are financially made available to them. You know, they got lucky and they got in the final. And for that one performance, parlayed that into possible affiliation into a stronger conference, which means more consideration by the NCAA, more consideration for the big tournaments, more money.
The Mountain West cannot afford to lose any school because it's like their anchor, one of their anchor schools.
They're gonna have to get in line with everybody else. So those mid majors, it's eat or be eaten, and you know to be honest, they're one of the few mid major conferences that haven't. This is really the first major hit for them, considering all the other defections that have gone on. But let's put it this way. To me, Pac-12 would make more sense to me. But I understand why they would do the Big Ten. I'd actually be kind of surprised if the Big Ten would actually embrace them. But, you know, if they were able to embrace UCLA and USC, I guess they could throw San Diego State in there as well. But to me, I would think it makes more sense for San Diego State, just on a recruiting level, to go to the Pac-12. To the Pac-12?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, again, these schools are, it's about a money grab. You know, it's funny how everybody gets their panties in a waist when we talk about NIL, but when these schools defect for strictly for money, everybody's cool with that. It's the ultimate hypocrisy in college sports. You know. I'll just come right out and say it. It's okay for the slave masters to make money, but we can't have any renegade slaves, man.
There you go. It's like wearing polyester in a cotton field. You know, it doesn't serve the purpose. It's like you're supposed to be wearing cotton. What's wrong with you? No. What they want to do is make more money. They haven't made any bones about it. It's not a hidden agenda. It's out there. And how you make your money, nobody really cares as long as you don't interfere with everybody else's making money.
There you go.
I'm worried about the Missouri Valley government because they can be doing it again. Looking up all the schools of Missouri Valley and the history of Missouri Valley, you would not believe I counted 32 schools used to be in the Missouri Valley.
Yeah, well, but the thing is, they have still survived though. So
yeah,
that says
yeah.
I think, and see, and. These other quote unquote mid major conferences are going to have to, they're going to have to find creative ways to do it. Because and again, I go back, the Mountain West is a baby compared to Missouri Valley Conference. Mountain West is still a relatively new conference. So this is probably probably going to be their first major hit for
That's
them.
True.
But I think, I'm sure that they've known of this. I don't think it's something where San Diego State, caught them off guard. And if they come out and say that in public, I'm hoping that their nose doesn't poke me in the eye when they say it, because I'm willing to bet you they probably have contingency plans ready. In regards to this, because especially, I'm willing to bet that when USC and UCLA decided to leave to go to the Big Ten, I'm willing to bet that the Mountain West said, you know what, we better be on notice.
It can happen.
No joke.
If the Mountain West is doing what they're supposed to be doing, then they should already have a contingency plan ready in regards to this.
We have a new NBA champion, the Denver Nuggets.
Before you get into the Nuggets, let me just throw this one little last thing into the pot. We sometimes forget about just how much money is involved in this. Now, during the NCAAs, when San Diego State hit that jump shot that put them in the final,
yes, sir.
The money that changed hands went. It was like hitting the jackpot at the casino. You know, you hit the jump shot, all of a sudden ding, 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 and all kinds of money is rolling around and numbers are going crazy because now they had enough clout, cash, combination of whatever to change their fortune. And that's exactly what they did, you know, whether we like the move or not. That's how much that jump shot was worth.
Well, I think when the great Blue Jays and the Wichita State Rechuggers, when they went to the NCAA 3 years in a row, I said, we're in trouble now. And when the Rechuggers and Blue Jays left, there they go. And then it happened in 2015
Yeah, but let's remember, you know, what they did and what they did in the tournament, this wasn't done out of the goodness of their heart. This wasn't for dear old Loyal the Marymount, whatever it was. This was done for dear old Do-Re-Mi. And nobody made a bones about it when they got to the level of success that they did. It was just a matter of which way, as in conference, do they go? Do they stay where they are and become a big fish in a small pond? Or do they end up to make more money going somewhere else? That's really what this is about.
Whenever the Valley gets in trouble, if anybody gets in trouble, they always call Northern Illinois and Eastern Illinois to join the conference. And once again, they join the conference. They're back together again, Northern, Southern, Eastern, and Western.
But again, at least they're prepared for that move. Though it's not like it's not, you know, because I have yet to hear a comment from the Mountain West in regard to this. Now, again, I'm just saying, you know, just to say, okay, either, you know. I mean, they could be good. They could go either way. They could say, hey, they weren't shit when they were here. They weren't shit when they left. You know, they could do that. Or either they could say, hey, dude, you know, we thank them for the years and whatever and move on. It all depends on how they want to play it. Now, San Diego State is pretty much basically, you know, moving their line in the sand. Now it's just a matter of Mountain West responding. And, you know, the way they respond or don't respond, per se, will say a lot as to where they're going in regards to either expansion or not.
Because
it's a two-way.
Well, look. To me, especially for the teams in Cali, the Pac-12 is a no-brainer. I mean, let's face it. There may never be a better time to join the Pac-12 than now. And I think if they sort of, you know, drag their feet in this, it could hurt them more than San Diego State. And this is more of a San Diego State thing, I guess. But if you're a California school, to me, joining the Pac-12 would make a lot more sense now because, let's face it, you never would have had the opportunity to join the Pac-12 before, and now it's literally there for you.
They didn't want you before.
Exactly. Well, it's a two-way street because, see, they know this way. It's like a gambler's line. I know that he knows that he knows that I know that I know that he knows. You know, it's literally a game of chicken now. it's literally a game of chicken now. It depends, and again, a lot of it is going to depend on where they go. And like I said, you know, I understand why you would want to go to the Big Ten, but just me personally, if I'm the Big Ten, why would I want to go to the state if I've already got USC and UCLA?
Right.
I'm just saying.
All right. The Denver Nuggets win their first championship. They did it with a big closing guy at center. I don't know whether you noticed or not, but all of the news agencies brought over the guy.
Well, when you
allow me this one, because this is what Tony always talks about. They fall back on their own whiteness. Now, I don't think Nikola Jokic is a racist. More intents and purposes, he seems like okay dude who can play okay ball. He's not the best thing since sliced bread. He might be to some people who market the game, but he's not the greatest center of all time. You know, but this is what the mouse does. They lift somebody up only to tear them down. They're not going to tear him down anytime soon because he's white. But you better believe if he were the Greek freak or somebody like that, it would be a matter of time before they'd say, when can I write the negative copy? Jokic is taking advantage of the fact that the Denver Nuggets have done something they've never done before. They won a championship. He helped a lot to get them there. He had other spare parts that did great as well, like Murray and all that. But the focus is we have a white star. And the NBA will run and tell that with that white star for as long as they can.
And I will say this, Mike, he doesn't seem to be caught up in all the mess personally.
Well, yeah, I agree.
It is more of, I mean, look, you know, the most unwritten secret in all of most media is when you get a guy like this, they're gonna try to make him out to be greater than what he is. He's a football player. I'm not gonna take that away from him. He's not a terrible, you know. Is he? Unlike when you see these folks in the Jordan James thing where they try to make it out like the guy can't play, the guy can definitely play. Now, what winds up happening, unfortunately, is that they try to make him out to be bigger than what he is. And, unfortunately, it's nothing new under the sun with what we've seen over the years. But
he just
again,
looks like a basketball player.
He was doing, you know, it's in the context. Cause see, and let's face it, you know, before he got this title, he was, you know, sort of, you know, putting up numbers with a, I don't want to say an inferior product, but an unknown product. Now that they've won a championship, now they have some legitimacy, and the fact that the bulk of this team is relatively young, they have a good opportunity of being in the mix. I'm not saying they're going to repeat, mind you, but I think they're definitely going to be in the mix to put themselves in the position to repeat. But again, Jay, you know, what have we not seen in this before, where you get a white star that wins a championship and they try to make him out to be bigger? Because see, what I always say, what does he say? Because he, you know, you get the feeling with him, he basically was like, you know, okay, let me win my title and go home to my kids. He doesn't, you know, they're more caught up in him than he is caught up in the whole moment. And
most definitely,
and in that vein, it makes me appreciate him as a ball player. But again, look, we're gonna get the white noise from these folks. What now? I'll say it again, even though I know you ain't gonna listen. You know why you still listen to the white noise and where they'll bother you is beyond me, because you know it's gonna happen. You know what? You know you can literally recite it by verse and whatever, but you got, you know, how, you know, when they won it, you knew how they were going to play it. It was basically going to be, you know, Joker, and five guys named Musk.
Mm-hmm.
And just remember, the league and the mindset of the league is we got 70% black players. But if we find a white player who can do anything, we must uplift them. Because look at this guy. Look what he does. He can outplay these niggas. That just shows the superiority of the player. So now I'm not saying that Jokic is a racist or supremacist. What I am saying is he is taking advantage of the convenience of what he is. You know, we've had white players before do this. But this is a whole new thing because he's a European player. You know, Larry Bird used to talk shit. Everybody knew that Larry Bird talked shit. But Larry Bird was good.
Yeah, everybody
knew he was good. Tom Chambers used to talk shit.
Larry Bird back it up.
Now, Jokic may back it up. Drazen Petrovic backed it up. But the bottom line is it's a whole different market that is looking underneath all this. They're looking at Jokic. They're thinking, can he sell two states? Can he do this? Can he do that? Can he be an ambassador for the league? And now with LeBron James 20 years in, they're saying, can he be the face of the league? Well,
yeah.
They all say
and
no that, because
that's what bothered me about John Morant. Because Morant was right at the door,
Hold on.
It could still happen, though, Gary. It could still happen.
It could still happen. But
because of the way America is, I don't see it happening now.
I'm not saying he's going to be the next spokesman for the NBA. What I am saying is that Morant, being only 23 years old, who's very talented, the NBA is paying attention to the fact that it would be a waste if somehow they let Morant get away if his popularity soars. You know, it's not going to cost them anything if a yoga does this, because he was supposed to do this. That's what they got him from Europe for. He's supposed to be one of the best. But if Morant does this, he sets a whole new tone for players in the league. Now we got somebody new to follow. He's the new face of the league. I want to be like Ja, and supposedly I want to be like Mike or be like LeBron. But unfortunately, he couldn't handle what was waiting for him, and he messed up. It may be too late to clean this thing up, but at least now he knows what's in his face. If he's too stupid to ignore it, that's his problem.
Yeah, and the knee-jerk reaction is to, dare I say it, cancel Ja Morant now. And
yep.
I would say even to his most biggest critics, be careful. Be very, very careful, because, see, again, you know, I have no problem with the suspension. I think it. I think they actually got it right, to be quite honest, because they couldn't give him the same amount of games as or test or what have or some of the other longer suspensions, but they also had to send a quote unquote message as well, because this is basically a second offense. As stupid as it was still a second offense. So, and as I said a while back, there was just as much pressure on the NBA to get this right as it is for Ja to, you know, stop eating these peanut butter and knucklehead sandwiches. So,
great point.
Mm-hmm.
I heard this week about somebody. The reason why he was flashing his gun, it was send a message to people that were after him, whoever was after him. And
well, see,
I think
that's
the whole thing. Why would you do that? Go into the league and say, hey, I got a problem with these guys.
Well, see, that speaks more to the assholery of this guy, if this is correct. See, put it this way. We've heard a lot of Lucy Van Pelt psychoanalyzing of Moran over the last few months.
Exactly.
To me, however you want to play it, to me, and I think we've all spoken of this, he obviously has a lot of yes people around him. I don't like to call out folks or whatever, but my first inclination would be the father, because the father has, you know, gone out of his way to quote, you know, now a lot of people now hear me when I say this, a lot of people, the very same people who are going after Moran's dad were the same ones that sort of went after LaVar Ball. Now,
thank you.
Say what you want about LaVar Ball. I never saw his kids online with guns.
Yeah.
No.
You know, I never saw them. I mean, I never saw them really do sort of stupid things and say stupid things. Look. If the dumbest thing that they've ever done is quote unquote reality TV, well, unfortunately that line backs up from all parts of the country or whatever, so that doesn't make them any unique. But it's interesting how that basically you have folks that sort of would try to equate Moran's dad and Ball's dad together, and a lot of that just has to do with the whole thing of bashing black men. But again, they would be more about LaVar.
Leadership role. Ever asked about?
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Again, if you want to say it a leadership thing, now I would just say, just on the surface, look, even if you hate Big Baller sneakers or what have you, he was about business. And
yes,
he was smart enough to have his kids out there brandishing guns. I mean, you put this way, I'm willing to bet you if any of the Ball kids came out with a video like that, you would have saw a crazy ball-headed man with a belt or whatever, whooping that ass on that video.
That's right.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing here with Ja. Now, again, Ja, and see, this is to all the folks that always like to talk about the high schoolers, whatever. Ja went to college. Even though he went 1 year, Ja did go to college. So you can't blame. So. You can't lump him in there with the high school guys, because he actually went to college, I think, for a couple of years. So you can rule that excuse out in regard to, because see, you got to look at the whole picture here, because we get so caught up in, you know, canceling folks and putting all the problems into one basket without looking at the whole thing. John Morant is supposed to be more mature than these ball kids.
He's shown,
I'll even go even further. Crittenden and Arenas, they went to college as well.
Yep.
Ron Artest,
Stephen
Jackson, those guys went to college as well. So
it's
forgive me for
going.
No. I'm sorry, but Gary, no, there ain't. Sometimes there isn't any more than something. Sometimes, as my man said, it is what it is. And the bottom line is, they thought that they would be entitled to do what they did and get away with it. Gilbert Arenas was an asshole to do what he did, and he got put in check.
I'm talking about John. Yeah. I'm talking about
It all goes together, though, Gary.
John Morant was an asshole, and he got put in check. You know, these things, when somebody's throwing the kind of money around that they're throwing around, you got to have someone committed and understanding what the big picture is. Say what you want about LeBron James. LeBron knew what time it was from the moment there was time, and he did not disappoint. He gave them 20 years of service. And when I say service, I don't mean putting the ball in a hoop. Kept his nose clean. He exemplified sportsmanship and deportment. He did great things off the court. He gave everybody reason to believe that the NBA was fantastic because he was fantastic. He excelled at the sport even when the politics was against him. And mentally, it takes someone with a lot of moral fiber and strength to handle all that. We're not going to really be able to totally appreciate what LeBron, the cash cow, exactly what he offered everybody because he was on time. John Morant ain't ready for prime time, and they have not picked out whoever would be next, if there is going to be a next. It's not Nikola Jokic, and if it was, they would say, well, wait a minute, we got a white guy representing a sport where over 70% of the workforce is black.
Yeah.
No, they have a lot of things to sort through, but Morant, because he's stupid, fucked up on his opportunity. And I got to say it, Brittany also fucked up on her opportunity. She could have done a lot.
What Mike is saying, you know, what's the one thing, what's the one parallel that's running through all of this other, you know, without, you know, of these folks? The entitlement part. That's the thing. The entitlement part. That's the threat. Now, again, say what you want about LeBron. Even with all of what he's been able to do, there's always been a modicum of humbleness to him. You never got that whole entitlement sort of thing with him to a certain extent.
Cash cows are like that.
I think yeah. And again, this was remember, he was supposed to be just, forgive me, he was supposed to be just another nigga from Akron. Yeah, because in many ways, that's the reason why that there's some sort of a backlash. You know, look, there's some sort of a backlash because, you know, it's always interesting to me that, you know, all of a sudden they'll, you know, they went out of their way to get the takes from these quote unquote gangster rappers, so to speak.
Thank you.
And it's like, now you have never cared a damn about what these guys have said before, but all of a sudden
now all of a sudden
you're going to treat them like they're heads of state and what have you. But see,
Little
Wayne
goes is a fucking
with
genius.
This.
I don't think so. Yeah, Little John.
Yeah. It's interesting that all of a sudden these folks became prominent to comment on the whole Morant thing, because again, and also let's face it, Morant brought a lot of that on himself with
yes,
the way he handled himself and how he did. Because see, again, let's be fair. Even with all of whatever, it comes back to Ja. Because look, I will be honest. When it came down to either R.J. Barrett or Ja Morant, I clearly would have liked to have gotten Ja Morant. But I guess in retrospect, in looking at it now, imagine him doing this in New York.
Oh, no fucking way. No fucking way.
The reason, like I said, the reason why I say you cannot say his career is over strictly because he's in Memphis. And see, in the NBA,
you don't necessarily
have to be in New York or Boston or L.A. to thrive. We've seen
That's
it at Golden
right.
State. We saw it
that
with
is
Chicago.
So right.
We saw it mm-hmm. with Houston. We're seeing it now with Denver. If you win, they'll come, you know, they'll come to you.
Get that ring.
Yes, they
exactly.
will. And you know what, Gary, you know, there's a dependability factor that nobody talks about. After they got LeBron and they decided amongst themselves, all right, we're going to commit to this guy. And after they decided that they couldn't get him a girl, they couldn't get him a scandal, they couldn't give him something that's going to cause problems, they couldn't give him anything that's going to alter their bottom line, they said, you know what? Let's leave him the fuck alone. They could have fucked with him after the situation came out about his mama and Delonte West, but everybody put the brakes on it. We know what the mouse can do. We know what the mouse has done. If the mouse wanted to fuck it up really badly,